Okay, good evening all. Welcome back to our Experience Shabbat Shir. And last week we began by speaking about the topic of Shabbos davening. And we began, of course, with Friday night davening, as you would expect. And we just barely began to break into Friday night davening. We mentioned that there's this notion and an idea of saying Shir HaShirim that some people say. And we said that we, of course, say Yedid Nefesh. And we explained that we maybe say Yedid Nefesh as a replacement almost for Shir HaShirim, or in lieu of Shir HaShirim, and that we preface our Shabbos and our Shabbos davening with these passages because of the fact that Shabbos is ultimately about a connection between us and the Almighty, and what better way than to talk about the fact that Shabbos is a connection between us and the Almighty by reciting some sort of a love song. We then began to speak about Kabbalah Shabbos actually for a little bit. We introduced it by saying that it seems like it has its sources in the Gemara, and we began by introducing that Kabbalah Shabbos starts off with six different psalms, and we sort of left off right in the middle before we're ready to go on to Lecha Dodi. So just a few more facts and interesting information to include before we jump right into Lecha Dodi. So first of all, one of the things that we do on Friday night is that, not really in our shul, just because of how it's built and how it's shaped, but in many shuls you'll see that the chazan will go from the regular place where the chazan stands to a different place to do Kabbalah Shabbos. So why do people do that? Where is that from? And it seems like that minhag, that custom, comes from the reality that we're trying to recognize that this is not one of the set prayers. Kabbalah Shabbos is not one of the set prayers that were established by the Anshei Knesset HaGadol or by any of Chazal. It was something that was established much later on, but nonetheless it was overwhelmingly accepted as part of our liturgy, and therefore we say it, but we switch our place to show that this is stuff that was added much later on. This was added 16th, 17th century, as opposed to all the other tefillos that can go back 1,000 years before that. And that's why we do. We switch places to show that it's just a different prayer. It's a different, almost a different level, if you will. It's a great way to preface Shabbos, and it helps us connect to Shabbos maybe on a deeper level. But it is just more of like a precursor to the actual prayers, of course, which will be Shema and Marav, etc., and the rest of the tefillos of Shabbos. Rabbi Sachs points out that when we do Lecha Dodi, this is, I guess, maybe more relevant. We'll save this actually for Lecha Dodi. And just a few more comments. Number one, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov points out that when we say the Psalms, the six Psalms as the introduction for Kabbalah Shabbos, he says, I want to read for you a quote over here, that these Psalms reflect our state of mind with the arrival of Shabbos, when we experience a heightened anticipation of the future redemption, of which Shabbos is a pale reflection, when all of the nations will happily recognize God's greatness. At that future time, the holy sparks implanted by God throughout creation will finally be uplifted and return to their divine source, and all of creation will reach its ultimate fulfillment. In other words, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov is basically saying over here that Shabbos is almost like the precursor to redemption, right? We've spoken in the past how Shabbos is actually, if everyone would keep Shabbos, one, maybe two Shabbos, is whatever it is, if everyone keeps it, then the entire world will be redeemed, will experience the redemption, the complete redemption. And so Shabbos is like a small taste of that, and as such, that's sort of what these introductory psalms, these six psalms before the Chadodi, that's what they represent, this anticipation of the fact that Shabbos is coming, and God willing, the redemption is coming soon. Rav Amos Chacham points out that that it's likely that the psalms that we say, the six, again, these six psalms, Psalm 95 to 99, right, Tzadi Hei to Tzadi Tes, those are the first five, so those psalms were likely actually said when all the Klai Shul, when we used to do Aliyah L'Regel, right, to combine our Dava Week Shir with our Experience Shabbat Shir for a second, when we make Aliyah L'Regel, and everyone goes up to Yerushalayim during the three festivals, so he says that it's likely that these actually were the Psalms that were recited as people were walking through the gates of Yerushalayim, as they were walking through the Temple Mount, and they express, each and every one in their own right, this anticipation of building up to something, to some sort of service of God, and that Psalm 29 in Chav Tes, the last one before the Chadodi, that sort of represents the absolute climax of excitement before you actually are able to go and talk to and be with Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what he says, that these are representative of the fact that we likely used to say these six psalms historically as we went up to do Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, let's actually talk a little bit and spend a little bit more time speaking about Lecha Dodi itself. So Lecha Dodi, where does it come from? So we hinted to it last week that it was composed by someone by the name of Rabbi Shlomo Alkabetz. He was one of those four Sfas Kabbalists that we spoke about who were around in the 16th century. 17th century, Rabbi Sacks notes that the piece of Lechadodi, it's such an incredible piece because there are so many themes that come up with it, very relevant and connected themes, but so many beautiful ones. He says that, of course, he looked at the words, Shabbos comes up, the notion of Yerushalayim, redemption, Mashiach, the notion of our nationhood as a Jewish people, and then Shabbos once again comes up. All these topics come up throughout all of Lechadodi, and it's really just amazing and beautiful to see how you can have such a, it's actually not such a short poem, but how you can have such a beautiful poem that we recite every single week. We should not take that for granted. Interestingly, if you look at the words, right, what's the connection between paragraph to paragraph? So all of the words, the first letter of each word, the acrostic, is Shlomo Halevi, represented by the fact that it was written by Rabbi Shlomo Alkovetz. Rabbi Basil Herring, the RCA sitter, says that if you want to really understand what Lechadodi is actually all about, then you have to sort of take it from a frame of a deeper level and realize that the notion of when we say, come my beloved, right, Bo'i Kala, to come my beloved, Lechadodi Bo'i Kala, right, so refers to the beloved who appears repeatedly in Shir HaShirim, right, when we're talking about Anila Dodi V'Dodili, the beloved of Shir HaShirim, so when we make that such a mention in Lechadodi, right, so that actually is referring to the same Dodi, the same beloved that we have in Shir HaShirim, right? So God is our Dodi, and we are the Jewish nation, and we as a Jewish nation are embracing God, and it's really just a beautiful idea. One last thing, and that is that Lechadodi itself, if you take the word Lechadodi Lekraskala Pnei Shabbos Nekabla, there are 26 letters in that line, and it would seem that those 26 letters in that line are supposed to be reminiscent of the fact that the Yudkei Vavkei is the numerical value is 26. So every single time we say Lechadodi, and we're talking about how we're getting close to Shabbos, it means we're actually getting closer to God because the line of the Lechadodi is 26 letters, which correspond to the numeric value of God's name. Okay, so that's Lechadodi. And so Lechadodi, in essence, is really just this beautiful poem that we say, that we usually sing as well. Even in our times, we started singing in our show with masks and all. And it's just the absolute climax. After we say those introductory six psalms, we go basically map out our week. We say what every day of the week was, all 6 days. We then say we're approaching Shabbos, this amazing day in which we'll connect to Hashem on an even deeper level. We say two psalms after that as well. And then following all of that, we say the very long passage of Bamei Malikin. Now, what in the world is Bamei Malikin? Why do we say Bamei Malikin in our shuls? So it's interesting to note that this is not actually davening, right? People treat this as like a prayer. I want to have the right kavana, right? So it's not a prayer at all. It's actually learning Torah. We, quite ironically and quite interestingly, we literally take a 30-second to 3-minute break, depending on who you are, and you go through Bamei Malikin, and it's literally put there so that we can sit and learn some Torah. The Shulchan Aruch says that we should definitely say this. I once heard someone tell me that they don't say it, but it seems to not be correct. It seems like we should try our best to say it if we can, because it is learning Torah. That said, before we explain why we say it and why it's so important that each of us does say it, I will point out that if you like are learning something else, then in theory there is what to suggest that maybe you can learn something else instead. Again, that seems to be against all of the normative practices and against what the Shulchan Aruch would say, but and one should certainly not sit there and do nothing during that time. That is certainly the case. And furthermore, you would also assume that one should probably can use that time to do other tefillos or other prayers if they are not fully caught up. One would make such an assumption as well. So why do we say it? So there seems to be three different reasons, or at least two different reasons, as to why we say it. So one, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Lefi sheish bo din hadlaka v'gimel dvarim shetzarech adam lomar b'soch beis erev Shabbos v'chashecha." Right, we have the paragraph in the whole text of Bamei Malikin, and we say that there are three things that the husband says to the wife on erev Shabbos to make sure you do them right. Yisartem eravtem v'liku esener. Right, did you take the tithes? Did you set up the erev chatzeros? And did you light the Shabbos candle? So those three things that we talk about in Bamei Malikin. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says we say this paragraph so that we can remember to remind our spouses and remind our families to do these things before Shabbos. Rabbi Sacks says that no, this was actually added to the service. We'll see that, I don't know if we're going to get to it this week, but that Magen Avos, right, the blessing that we say, the Me'in Sheva blessing that we say right after Vayechulu, after Shmona Esrei, so that was added actually to prolong the service a little bit. Rabbi Sacks says that no, maybe Bamei Malikin was added to prolong the service a little bit. Why would anyone want to prolong the service a little bit? Well, there seems to have been an abundant concern for people who are latecomers, right? We know no such thing, people who come late to shul, but they actually added such a prayer maybe for latecomers, for those who might want to get to shul a little bit late, or who might not be able to help the fact that they get to shul late, and so that everyone should be able to leave on the same time. So maybe this was added. If you have to skip something because you're running a little late, you're catching up, then maybe this would be the thing that you skip. Then Rabbi Naftali Weider actually explains that no, and this seems to be a much more common idea as well, that the reason why Bamei Madlikin was added to the Friday night davening was because of the concern of those groups like the Karaites, those people who reject the oral Torah, the notion that we are allowed to have a fire lit in our house on Shabbos, except we just say that you can't light the fire itself on Shabbos, that's the classic rabbinical perspective, and that seemed to be an argument of other sects of Jews who said, no, you can't even have a lit fire in your house on Shabbos. So we say, we specifically do the paragraph from the Mishnah that talks about Bamei Madlikin, that we're lighting the Shabbos candles on Shabbos to show that we believe that you could have fire burning on Shabbos, to counteract those heretical groups that say that you can't have a fire that is lit on Shabbos. With all of that as an introduction, again, the introduction of Kabbalah Shabbos all being this major love poem and explaining that there's this climax from the beginning of Shabbos davening through to the end of Shabbos davening to prepare for this highest and holiest of days. Now that we're prepared for Shabbos, we realize what it is. It's this love fest of us between us and Hashem. We then finally get to Maariv. Of course, we know what Maariv is. We do Maariv every single night of the week, and so there's a lot to be discussed about Maariv in general, but we're specifically going to talk in particular about the Maariv of Shabbos itself. And so I think we'll maybe go all the way up to, I'm going to stop saying what we're going to do, and we're going to try to do as much as we can tonight. We may have to conclude this, though, next week. So Maariv of Shabbos has several very interesting aspects to it. It's probably the most innovative of all the Shabbos tefillos, meaning if you compare every single tefillah, Maariv of Shabbos to Maariv during the week, or even Maariv of Yontif, and then you compare Shachris of Shabbos to Shachris of Yontif or during the week, Maariv is the most changed, it is the most different, it has so many moving pieces to it, right, not just talking about the specific Shemona Esrei, which of course is different, but also where we add Vishamru after so we do Shema, that's normal, we get that already, we then do Vishamru before Shemona Esrei. Where does that come from? We have a very different Shemona Esrei, right, after Shemona Esrei we say Vayechulu, then we have that like interesting blessing over that follows the Me'ein Sheva blessing, the Magin Avos blessing, and so all of these different aspects and moving parts are worthy of discussion. So let's begin by understanding why we say Vishamru. So again, we come into Shul Friday night, we finish Kabbalah Shabbos, the rabbi speaks, it's usually a beautiful piece if I do say so myself, and then after the rabbi speaks, we go straight to you have Kaddish as well, then you have Maariv. So you start with Shema, and Shema is pretty typical. We say Shema every single night of the week, and then we have a Shamru right after Shema before Shemona Esrei. So why do we say Shema? Why do we say Vishamru right before Shemona Esrei? So it happens to be that this prayer is actually, or rather, this text from the Torah. It's a quote from the Torah that we say it on Shabbos morning as well. And so why do we say it? Well, it has plenty of themes that are relevant for Shabbos that we could understand. Right? It talks about being Shomer Shabbos. It talks about being Oseh Shabbos, making Shabbos. It talks about the fact that there's a covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people, and that the fact that Shabbos is an oath, it's an oath, it's a sign that we believe in the creation of the world by God, and that on this seventh day he rested. So there certainly are a lot of relevant themes to it, but why is it actually placed over here? And in particular, it seems to be a very odd place to put it, because we know that in general we believe that we don't like to disconnect Shema and Shemona Esrei, right? There's many, many pages written, much in literature written about the notion of being somich geula to the tefillah, that you should always connect the final blessing of redemption after Shema to the tefillah, to the prayer of Shemona Esrei. So how do we have the nerve to include Vishamru as a separation between the mentioning of redemption at the end of Shema to the beginning of Tefillah? So the Abu Draham notes a very beautiful idea. He says that normally we don't like making these separations, but we make an exception for a prayer like Vishamru. Why is the prayer of Vishamru so different, or why is the text of Vishamru so different? Because what is the notion of being somich geula to the Tefillah? We like to connect the notion of redemption, that God has redeemed us, to the notion of prayer. It's a very nice idea to connect those two things, and the Abu Draham says that that's exactly what Vishamru is, because what brings geula, what brings redemption more than Shabbos itself. So therefore, talking about Shabbos and inserting a thematic paragraph about Shabbos is quite relevant to the notion of redemption. So we have the final blessing of Shema that talks about redemption. We have the passage of Vishamru, which furthers the notion and the idea that there is redemption because keeping Shabbos will bring redemption. And then we go into Tefillah. And then it also seems that Vishamru is mentioning Shabbos on this bookend of Shemona Esrei, and following Shemona Esrei, we'll mention Vayechulu as a second time of the evening, and that seems to be the other bookend, that the Shemona Esrei is surrounded by mentions of Shabbos itself. Okay, without further ado, we're sort of out of time, but let's begin. So I have a few more aspects that I want to go through. So number one, we're going to have to go through the specific text of the Shemona Esrei, but I don't think we're going to have time to do that. But what I want to do, and just briefly, and this is some good stuff over here, so I want to make sure we get to it tonight, and that is to speak about the notion of Shemona Esrei and Shabbos itself. Shemona Esrei and Shabbos itself, the Gemara explains that we only have seven blessings. So that means Friday night, Shabbos day, for Shacharis and Musaf. For Mincha, we only have seven blessings. Usually we have 19 blessings. I know it's called Shemona Esrei, it's called 18 blessings. We have 19. But on Shabbos, we only have seven blessings. The first three and the last three are identical. That's always how it is. The middle blessing is changes. Why do we have seven blessings? Well, it seems like an obvious idea that we have seven blessings because it's the notion of the connection between 7 days of the week. There's a lot to talk about the fact that there are 7 days, and there's also an idea that we'll build upon in just a moment, that Shabbos in many ways is the representation, as we've been saying, as a connection between the Jewish people and God, but not only that there's a connection between the Jewish people and God, but this is actually, Shabbos is like the marriage of the Jewish people and God. And if that's the case, so you have seven blessings in Shemona Esrei to represent the Sheva Brachus that we have for ourselves and Hashem on Shabbos. So fine. So again, so as we said, that the three blessings at the beginning, that those are normal, that we always say those three blessings. The middle blessing, however, of Shabbos davening is interesting, because the middle blessing changes from every single prayer that we have, right? So that means Friday night davening, Shabbos morning davening, Musaf, and Mincha, they all have different blessings in the middle. That does not occur in any other holiday or day throughout the year, right? During the week, we always say the same Shemona Esrei for every single prayer. And on any Yontif, we always say the same stuff throughout every single Shemona Esrei, except for Musaf, which we change up because of the sacrifices that we need to mention. But it's all seemingly more or less the same. Shabbos is the only time that we have four different prayers that we say in our Shemona Esrei, four entirely different blessings. So why is it that we have such different blessings on Friday night, on Shabbos day, and at Mincha? So there are many reasons given for this. So that according to the Torah, he says that the Shabbat prayer itself, it basically spans the entirety of human history, that it's meant to describe the beginning, the middle, and the end of human history. How so? According to the Torah, Friday night davening, the Friday night Shemona Esrei, represents the Shabbos of creation. That's what we talk about. That's the main thing, that Hashem created the world. You get to Shacharis, that talks about Matan Torah, that Moshe gave over the Torah to the Jewish people, so it's the Shabbos of Har Sinai. And he says Mincha is the notion of the ultimate redemption, that we're anticipating the Shabbos of the end of time, if you will. So that's what it is. There's this ultimate climax that you go from the beginning of time to the middle of time to the end of time. That's what Shabbos davening is meant to represent. There are other allusions that that get even more beautiful. The Bnei Yisachar quotes the Arizal, the more Kabbalistic idea, that the prayer progression of Shabbos is actually meant to represent the marriage, as we said a moment ago, between Hashem and the Jewish people. How so? Well, Friday night, what is the prayer of Friday night? It's the idea of Ataki Dashta. In other words, we have that Hashem has sanctified Shabbos, but you can understand it more beautifully and maybe more esoterically, that we have that God is sanctifies us, meaning he does kedushin with us, he does the halachic engagement with us. Moreover, when we have Shacharis, this is when the groom typically gives the gifts to the bride, right? In the notion, maybe in the yichurim or maybe before the wedding, right? Yismach Moshe, that Hashem is making Moshe very happy, and the gifts that we receive essentially are the commandments, right? The notion that we receive specifically Shabbos. Musaf, he says, is the Tosefes Ksuba, right? The additional money that we add on top of the Ksuba, on top of the Ksuba payments, and this, he says, corresponds to the revelation at Har Sinai, that we receive so much of the revelation, so that's the extra, the Tosefes Ksuba. And then Mincha is the Yichurim. That's actually going into the Yichurim. When we say Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad, right, it's essentially consummating the relationship between us and the Almighty, so therefore you have basically that each of these steps of Shabbos davening are the steps from beginning to end of a regular Jewish marriage. And then finally, the Rav points out that Friday night is basically all about focusing on the revelation of God, right? Where specifically we do want to realize that we aren't only speaking about Friday night right now. So Friday night is all about focusing on the revelation of God within nature, which is why we specifically invoke the creation during our Friday night services. Right? When we say Vayichulu Hashamayim Va'aretz, right? So the word Vayichulu can also be read Vayichlu, and they created, to note that we are essentially partners with God in this creation, that God did not create the world by himself. He did, of course, but that he invited us as partners to complete that creation. So Vayichlu, and they created, not just us, we created the world, not just Hashem created the world, rather, but that we all created the world together. This ultimately then leads us up to being able to speak a little bit more about the Friday night davening, about the actual specific Shemona Esrei itself. And so next week we'll have to pick up from here. And next week the goal will be to actually go through the very specific three paragraphs of the singular metal blessing of Shemona Esrei. But for now, I think we'll stop right here. And I wish everyone a beautiful night and a beautiful Shabbos.